Now Psalms, from chapter 1 to chapter 10. You find a flood there, you find a creation there, and you find a dispersion inside, and you find a fall of man inside, and all those things can be traced in the first 10 chapters of the book of Psalms. And of course, each psalm is so special that you could take one psalm and teach on a lot of things, or a few verses of the psalm. It is a very rich book. The book of Psalms is so rich, like it's like pure protein powder. It's like having a diet of pure protein powder every day. Some of you drink the protein powder. That must be the one. Right? So, what we want to see here is to show you the comparisons. And then from Psalms 11, it begins the life of Abraham. You notice on Psalms 11, we are going to pick only certain portions and focus on it. And Psalms 11, you notice, starts talking about faith. And the life of Abraham is typified as a life of faith. And so we find here in the Psalms 11, see, one reason why we study this way is the Psalms are a very unusual collection of books. They are not put together chronologically. Sometimes the event is here and then it goes here. A Psalm of David in his early life is somewhere in the middle, and in his later life is nearer to the front part of the Psalms. And so they don't seem to be collected in a really chronological order. And so there must be a reason for the Holy Spirit bringing it together in its form as it is. And why the Holy Spirit has brought it in this form is to show the tie between the five books and the five books of Genesis, and to tell us the significance of the book of Psalms and how important it is. You see, the book of Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy, all the Pentateuch, the rest of the Hebrew history, from the time of Joshua right up to Esther, is based on the commands that God has given in the Pentateuch. All the rest of the historical books circle around, and whether they fail or succeed, circle around the Pentateuch. And then we have the poetical books that we are studying here. And so these poetical books are, the book of Psalms is like the Pentateuch. A Pentateuch for the poetical section, and also for the rest of the prophetic books. And also, as we realize, the Pentateuch in the Old Testament and poetic Pentateuchs. And in the New Testament, we have the four Gospels and one history of the church. And all the rest of the New Testament is around, based around and upon the life of Jesus Christ. That's why the New Testament starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. If you don't have Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, the rest of the New Testament is irrelevant. If Jesus did not come, the rest of the New Testament is irrelevant. There's no church and there's no salvation. And so the life of Jesus Christ, and to be like Him, and to know Him, and to love Him, to understand Him, is the apex of and the goal of all the rest of Christianity up to today. That's what we call a foundation. A foundation is what the entire building is based upon. And that is why right in the middle of our so-called Bible is the book of Psalms, and it brings forth the, in quote-unquote, it brings forth the Pentateuch in a poetical, personal way. It would be just like reading the books of Moses as poetry. Its application is different. You see, the commands of God were hidden through historical records in Moses' writings. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. Now the same commands of God are hidden in the book of Psalms, like a poetic Pentateuch. And that is why the book of Psalms is one of the most quoted books in the whole New Testament. You can see its importance now. Now we are in Psalms chapter 11. We better get going. We have about 139 left. It begins to talk about faith, and you notice it flows into the life of Abraham. And it talks about, like Psalms 11, faith and righteousness. That was the walk of Abraham with God, faith and righteousness. Notice it says here in verse 7, "For the Lord is righteous, He loves righteousness, His countenance behold the upright." And it talks about how God, in verse 5, tests the righteous. How God watch over the righteous. How God watch His heart. It talks about the operation of faith and righteousness. Psalms chapter 12. The key verse is verse 6. "The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever." God's promises. It's talking about faith and the promise of God. Which is what Abraham did. He was tried and he was tested. There were many times it looks like it was never going to come to pass. But the word of the Lord is pure, strong, and immutable, unchangeable, immovable. And what He said, He will bring it to pass. And it finally came to pass. Psalm 12, faith and the promise of God. Faith and the word of God. Psalms 13, faith and mercy. Faith operates with mercy. We realize that Abraham was not perfect. And there was an aspect of the mercy of God coming in into his life. Verse 5, "I have trusted in your mercy." Psalms chapter 14. Key verses here. Right at the end here in verse 7, "Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion, when the Lord brings back the captivity of His people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad." Faith and joy. I want you to know that Abraham had joy when Isaac was born. Because the name Isaac means, ha 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 ha. It means laughter. It's a good name for some of you. You can call your children Tan Ha Ha. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't want to let you know what my other name is, right? Now, Psalms. Looking at Psalms chapter 16. Psalms 15. We haven't gone to 15. Psalms 15, this is the life of Abraham. All these psalms cover the life of Abraham. It talks about in Psalms 15, in verse looking on here, the righteousness is still there, but there's something else that is required in verse 5. The last sentence, "He who does these things shall never be moved." Now, you notice that it talks about finances, it talk about being righteous in finances, handling money. Remember, Abraham was good at that. When he was told by the king of Sodom, "You can keep what all those things, just give me back the servants and the wives," Abraham said, "I will not even take one shoestring from you." And you notice that Abraham had what I call a steadfast heart. In chapter 15, it's faith and steadfastness. I shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. That's Abraham. The next psalm is also Abraham, Psalm 16. By Abraham, remember the context, we're not saying he composed it, right? We are saying that all these areas, it flow from Psalms 1 to 10, it flows through all the four major world events, and then it flow into the life of Abraham. And then it will flow into the life of Isaac and the life of Jacob and the life of Joseph. Everything is in book 1 of Psalms. And as you understand the major outline, when you read this psalm, you begin to understand this goes deeper than what the eye sees. That these are trying to tell you all the various aspects of Abraham's life that were hidden in the historical records of Genesis. When you really want to have a thorough study, you read the life of Abraham and you read these psalms together, you begin to draw out more truths than you could ever have done by just reading one section of the historical records. Psalm 16 is a psalm that ends that section of the life of Abraham. And just a key verse of Psalm 16 is verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoice. My flesh also will rest in hope. Faith and hope are now related. So the book of Psalms ties us to all the various aspects of faith in this particular psalm. So Psalms 11 right on to Psalm 16 here. Now from chapter 17 onwards, it began to transcend into the area where Abraham and Isaac are together. And all the tests and all the trials that they went through. You remember Abraham, the last final test was the sacrifice of Isaac. And so the flow is there, but we are not able to go into this flow in details. And I'll point to the exact changeover point from Psalms. Now, Isaac's life is one of the short little excerpts in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, considering all the other lives on record, Isaac 1 is quite a small section. And Isaac points to, and it's a representation and a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. So after the Psalms that show the faith of Abraham, the book of Psalms, book 1, began to move into prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, His crucifixion, and His resurrection, and His return again. By the time it reached Psalms 22, it was perfectly a prophetic psalm speaking about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 22 talks about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Psalms 23 talks about the Lord Jesus Christ alive today. Psalms 24 talks about the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. And then it moves into this prophetic area of Isaac, and we are Isaac, and we are tied up to Jesus Christ in that sense. We are the bride of Jesus. So Psalms 22, 23 and 24 directly begin to speak about Jesus and His church. Jesus and His church. Notice, we are now in the book of Psalms 22. And some of the singing that is done here by David is amazing, because David did not actually go through these things. But what happened is, as he began to sing a song, a prophetic anointing came upon him, and he began to sing the exact things that took place in Jesus' life. It's amazing. Look at verse 1. These are the words of Jesus on the cross when he said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, doesn't this sound like Isaac dying or being laid on the stone? All this pointing to the cross. "And why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?" And verse 6, "He became sin for us. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people."